If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask that once again you'd open up to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. The book of Isaiah, chapter 9. This morning I want to focus our message on the sixth verse of this ninth chapter. And as we look at this, I want to share with you just four things this morning. I want to share with you, first of all, a start. Secondly, a son. Third, the strength. And then fourth, the surnames. And as we look at this, I want us to realize the importance of who Jesus really is. He's why we gather together. He is the reason that we celebrate, not just on Christmas Sunday, but that we celebrate His love and His grace every week as a body of believers, but then every day as individuals. As our relationship with Him develops and grows, He becomes more and more important in our lives. And the words of this particular verse of Scripture become more and more meaningful to us. So I want us to look at that sixth verse once again. And it reads like this: "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, we ask that now, in these few moments that we take, we ask that somehow you will drive deep into our hearts the importance of your word. And this morning, in particular, the importance of this verse of Scripture. And Lord, may this be a verse of encouragement when we have doubts. May this verse be a verse of strength when we feel weak and vulnerable. And may this verse be a verse that brings us comfort when we are distraught. Now, Lord, please speak through your word to our hearts, and we'll give you praise, for it's in your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen. You know, as I was looking at this particular verse, and especially in the beginning of it, the part of the verse that says, "For a child will be born to us," I couldn't help but think of a start. You know, we don't think of Jesus as ever having had a beginning, because he has always existed. Jesus declared himself before Abraham was, "I am." In other words, he existed even before Abraham. And if we go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and you go to that 26th verse, as you are looking at the very creation of man at that moment, the Word of God tells us, and God said, "Let us make man after our image." And of course, he is referring to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus was active and involved even in the element of creation. You know, Jesus is a son of Abraham, and we're going to look at that in a moment. But as we begin to look at this particular verse, as I began to wonder about this, I began to realize how amazing it is that in our relationship with Him, in our identity with Him, as He identified with us, there was a moment of a start where He took on the form of man, that He might experience life as we experience life. that he might really be able to identify in every aspect of our lives. And Jesus did that. He understood what it was to be happy and to be joyful. There are accounts in the scriptures we know where Jesus chose to work his first miracle, for example. That was at a wedding celebration. And there was very typical Jewish traditions that were taking place there. There would have been singing and laughter. There would have been dancing. There would have been music. There would have been all of those things that we consider in a moment of celebration in weddings this day. And so Jesus was able to identify with us in that moment. But then he was also able to identify in rejection, because there were those who simply rejected who he was. And they rejected his teaching, even though they watched the miracles that Jesus was able to do. They tried to take those miracles and use them against him to diminish his influence among the people. Isn't it strange that people are like that? And yet they are. They'll do what they can to diminish someone else in an effort to make themselves look better. And you see, Jesus identified with that. And so, in identifying with us, there was a start. It started in the womb of Mary. And it progressed through the birth in the stable. And it demonstrated itself in the beginning of his debates at age 12 with the great minds of his day. It had a beginning in his ministry in the moment of baptism by John the Baptist. And from that start, amazing, amazing things took place. For a child shall be born unto us. We can identify with him because he has identified with our experience in being born as a man. Secondly, I want you to notice that second part of that verse that says, "For a child will be born to us." And then notice what it says, "A son will be given to us." A son. You know, several thoughts have come to my mind in this, and I began to look at what some of the commentaries had to say and that kind of thing. And they're kind of all over the place, because I think the reference here is all over the place. These are words that are being spoken to the Jews. And so the prophecy here is that Israel, a son of Israel, is going to be born. There's that identity then with the great forefathers of Judaism, the identity with Abraham and all of the prophecies that declared the lineage that Jesus would come through. He shall be a part of the lineage of David. And you know, there's all of these references that declare that the Messiah would come through a certain branch of the family, but all inclusive of the Jewish people. And yet, many scholars indicate that the identity doesn't stop there. Because there is a dual identity. There's not just the identity of Israel, but there's also the declaration of God Himself. Even at the baptism, when God Himself declares, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Listen, this is my Son. And so a Son being born to us is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man being born to us through the lineage of David and Abraham. But He is also the Son of God. That duality of sonship. And because of that, He is our brother. Even though we have been removed by these 2,000 years, He is still identified as our brother. And we are joint heirs together with Him. For unto us a child will be born. Unto us a son shall be given. God gave His Son through the lineage of the fathers, the founding fathers, if you will, and has identified with us in great ways. The third thing I want you to notice is the strength. Look at how this verse continues. And the government will rest on His shoulders. Now I'm going to tell you, that really has nothing to do with Washington, D.C. This reference is not to a earthly government. But it is to the government of God. The opportunity of all of mankind rested upon His faithfulness and His obedience to the plan of God, even the plan of death on a cross. All of that rested upon Him. And in that moment when He was in the garden praying before the crucifixion, and He was saying, "Man, if there is just some other way, Father, let that happen." That government, if you will, was being placed upon Him. He was the only link between God and man at that moment. And He would have to take on all of the sins of the world. Being pure, being perfect, being holy, He had to have all of that garbage dumped on Him and placed upon His shoulders. And because of His faithfulness to God, and because of His obedience to God, He victoriously won our salvation. Not just a child. Not just a son. But now a king. A ruler. And to His kingdom there will never be an end. And to His kingdom, the government of God's righteousness, victory has been secured. That's who we celebrate today. The King of all kings, the Lord of lords, the One who has sacrificed all to be able to give us everything. He is an amazing Savior. And then the fourth thing that's kind of pointed out in this verse are these surnames that are given to Jesus. And I just want to cover these very quickly. And it begins at the end of that verse. It says, "And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor." You see, because of everything that he has accomplished and the government being placed upon him, he has now all of the wisdom that is ever going to be needed. And he is a wonderful counselor. When we take our issues and our problems to him, we can trust him as an advisor. He's going to make the right decisions. He's going to give us the right direction. He is going to help us to make wise decisions. That's why James chapter 1, James says, "Look, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally." And so we can trust Jesus. And whenever we are facing an issue or a struggle in life or a decision and we don't know which direction to go, if we turn to him, he is the wonderful counselor. He can be the trusted advisor who will give us the right direction to go. And then Isaiah continues and he says, he is the mighty God. The mighty God. Folks, we often think we're the ones in control. But we're not. God is going to work out his plan and his program for the resolution of all things on this earth. He is going to work out everything to accomplish his perfect and holy will and his righteousness. He is the mighty God. He is the great creator of all things. And he is the one that we celebrate. The third thing that is brought out in this aspect is that he is the eternal Father. He has always existed and he always will. He has always been God. And he will always be God. He can never be destroyed. He can never be defeated. He will always be victorious. And he gives us victory over sin because he can do that as he is God. He is the eternal Father. The one who is worthy of all of our praise. And then finally, it says he is the Prince of Peace. Jesus has come to bring peace to the hearts and to the souls of man. To set us free from the warfare of Satan in his attempts to destroy us, and to bring about peace. And you see, there will come the time when he will bring about eternal peace over all things. I love the references in Revelation where it talks about the fact that the lion shall lie down with the lamb. That's peace. We will never have to be concerned with terrorists. We'll never have to be concerned with enemies because God will bring about all things to His resolution. Jesus, as the grand commander, is the Prince of Peace. And He'll bring peace to its ultimate conclusion. What an amazing, amazing God we serve. When we consider this particular verse, it makes me stop to think in light of the events that we celebrate today. What an astounding amount of pressure Joseph and Mary must have felt. They knew this verse of Scripture. They understood the 14th verse of chapter 7 of Isaiah, that there would be a sign, that a virgin would bring forth a son, and His name would be called Emmanuel. They understood what that implied. There's a very popular song out now that we hear every year at Christmas, "Mary, Did You Know?" It's a great song. I love it. Brings out some interesting things. But you know what? I know Mary knew. I know that she realized how vital bringing God in this form into the world was going to be. I know that Joseph understood what his role was going to be in raising God. We celebrate Christmas not because of the birth of a baby. We celebrate Christmas because of the reaching out of God into the heart of man. It's not just the baby in the cradle, but it's the Christ of the heart that we celebrate. Don't cheapen the season by making it about yourself. Instead, celebrate God's hand reaching out to you and I. He's finally here. He is here in spirit. And He has promised that He's coming back. Are you ready for Him? Is your heart totally His? What a perfect day to be born again. We're going to have a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask Ryan Wolitschko to come, and he's going to bring our second special as a song of reflection.